Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation tonight. We're at 800-449-8255. Thank you, Dr. Savage, for lending me your microphone again tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, the big news today, and we're going to be talking about it, I guess, probably through most of the show, is what President Obama did today on illegal immigrants. Just to show that this is the most radical, the most lawless and most destructive president we have ever had. We're going to try to remain calm in the next few minutes. We're probably not going to be able to maintain that calm through the whole show, but let's just go through what President Obama did. And let's start with a little reminder of where he was on all of this stuff not that very long ago. You remember, you should remember, back in September when Obama was defending himself against all of his lefty pals, who were pressuring him to pass the DREAM Act and to do something, just do anything, whatever he thought he could do himself. Now, this is just at the precipice. This is September of 2011, not even a year ago. This is just at the precipice where Obama wanted to push us all off the cliff and say, I'm not going to deal with Congress. I'm not going to do things that I, you know, wait for them. I'm not going to wait to compromise. I'm going to just do things myself. This is just before that. And listen to what the president was saying, and then I'm going to tell you what he did today. Clip 11, please.
We are doing everything we can administratively. But the fact of the matter is there are laws on the books that I have to enforce. And I think there's been a great disservice done to the cause of getting the DREAM Act passed and getting comprehensive immigration passed by perpetrating the notion that somehow by myself I can go and do these things. It's just not true.
Really? Well, that was what was true in September of 2011. What is true today is Obama has gone and done precisely what he said he couldn't do. He has done now, today, precisely what he said was not available to him under the powers of the presidency. Let's talk about what he's done. Now, first, set the context a little bit, okay? We don't have a secure border. The border may be a bit more secure than it was 10 years ago, but it is not secure. Illegal aliens can still get through, and they are getting through. Maybe they're going both ways. Obama keeps telling us, oh, there are fewer people coming in, and there probably are fewer people coming in because the economy is in the dumpster. And it's Obama's responsibility, and because Obama caused that economic downturn, this is where we have, even the illegals are not coming in so fast. So what is he doing? Today, he threw out a welcome mat for illegal aliens under the age of 30. And let's just talk about what this does. This is not an executive order. This is just regulatory action. This is something that Obama, on his own hook, with Janet Napolitano at Homeland Security, they've just gone and done this. No congressional action has been authorized them to do this. Nobody says they can do this except for them. And this is what Obama is doing. He will go and override Congress. He will do what he pleases in the manner of a dictator of a South American banana republic. This is not what happens in America, except when Barack Obama is in charge. Now, what do we have today? He is now saying that no illegal aliens, he says young people, well, under the age of 30, maybe not so young. Anyone who is under 30, who has got here before they were 16 years of age, they've gotten 5 years in America. They haven't had any criminal convictions. None of those people are going to be deported. None of those people are going to be deported. Even if right now they are in deportation proceedings, they're going to be given, well, what they're euphemistically calling some sort of a delay. They're going to be given a stay. All of these people are going to be given in addition to this, and this is where the illegal part comes out. This is where Obama is overcoming and passing by the Constitution of the United States, overcoming and passing by the powers he has as president, in addition to stopping the deportation proceedings and not initiating any others. He's also going to say these people, for 2 years, can be given a legal work permit. Okay, he is, by the wave of his magic wand, converting these people from illegal to legal status. He can't do that, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to be talking later in the show to Congressman Steve King of Iowa, who's going to sue the president and sue against this whole action today. But this is what's going on, okay? We've got, if you're under 30, if you've been here since before you were 16, you have no criminal convictions, you're not going to be deported, even if right now a deportation proceeding is going on against you. And you're also going to be given a work permit so that you can work here legally for 2 years. Now, what happens at the end of 2 years? What happens is you can apply for another 2 years. And what we know is going to happen is it's going to be automatic. It's going to be rubber stamped. So these people are basically being given a blanket stay here. Yeah, okay, not a path to citizenship under this particular action, because even Obama has to realize he can't do that without a statutory authorization. But the basic point here is he is taking one step, which is at least arguably within his powers, staying and not initiating deportation proceedings. And then he's saying, and illegally, and beyond his powers, he's saying, I'm converting these people from illegal to legal status. Now, what does that mean? How far does that go? He won't deport the parents either. And how do we know that? We know that because our favorite person, well, one of our least favorite people, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Incompetano has explained it to Wolfie Blitzer. Let's talk about, how about clip 27, please, guys?
We have internally set it up so that the parents are not referred for immigration enforcement if the young person comes in for deferred action. However, the parents are not qualified for deferred action. This is for the young people who meet the criteria that we've set forth.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're saying today. Okay. They're saying, well, we're not going to initiate any deportation proceedings against the young people, but the parents are not going to be referred for immigration enforcement. So what that happens is if a young person goes in and gets this new legal status, which Obama is proclaiming, the parents, when they are determined to be illegal aliens, are not going to have a deportation proceeding initiated against them. What she's weaseling out now is to say that if these people have already had, the parents had, a illegal deportation proceeding begun against them, that that will not be stayed. Well, that's the next step. Even if they're going to have a deportation proceeding against them when their child qualifies for this so-called delay, we're next going to hear from Incompetano and Obama that the parents, well, we're not going to split up the families. Of course we're not. We have a heart. We're going to be fair. We're going to do these things the right way. This is exactly what Obama is trying to do. He's just trying to say, well, I'm going to make it legal for these people to stay and work. They work hard. In fact, you know, he really doesn't think there's any big deal about this. You know, according to our president, in his little speech today, as opposed to his intolerably long speech on the economy yesterday, his speech today said, it's really no big deal. Clip 1A, please.
This morning, Secretary Napolitano announced new actions my administration will take to mend our nation's immigration policy. These are young people who study in our schools. They play in our neighborhoods. They are Americans in their heart, in their minds, in every single way but one. On paper.
On paper. It's no big deal. The fact that you came here illegally, the fact that your parents brought you here illegally, the fact that your status is illegal in this country, no big deal. Just a matter of paperwork. Just check a block and it's all done. That's what this president is doing. And he is not going to stop at this, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very big deal. This is covering something like we don't even know how many people. Right now, there are somewhere between 12 and 20 million illegal aliens in this country. And approximately, according to several reports I've seen today, about 800,000 to 1 million of those people are the young people that are going to be covered by this new action. Now, we've got a few people standing up to object to this. Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, issued some pretty strong words today, which I wish we had heard from some of the other people in the Republican Party. He said, quote, with its announcement today, the Obama administration has openly declared to the American people that it is determined to contravene immigration laws of the United States, circumventing the will of the people and the authority of its representatives in Congress. In fact, this policy is far broader than a version of the DREAM Act rejected by Congress on a bipartisan.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage today. We're talking about, and I'm trying to explain calmly what the president did today on illegal immigration. To sum it up right at the outset, what he did was not by law, not by even executive order, just by a presidential fiat, by regulatory action. He's changed the immigration law so that anyone who is under 30 and has been in the country for 5 years or more, came here before they were 16, they're not going to be deported unless they have criminal convictions. And what we're also hearing from Janet Napolitano at the Department of Homeland Security is if deportation proceedings have not yet begun against their parents, even if the parents are here illegally, they're not going to be deported either. These people are also, the young people, are also going to be given, by presidential edict, a 2-year legal work permit. This is beyond President Obama's powers. It is something he himself said not a year ago that he couldn't do, that he could not do within the powers of the presidency. But now, well, hey, you know, that was then, this is now. We have a situation where no law says he can do this. He is doing almost precisely what the language of the DREAM Act said. Remember that? The comprehensive part of the Immigration Reform Act, which was going to give people who are younger and wanted to go to college or in the military, was going to give them a path to citizenship. This is pretty much all of that except the path to citizenship. Even Obama knows, or must know, or maybe he's saving that for the second term, but he must know that by presidential edict, he can't do that. Well, we'll just have to see. Another interesting aspect of this, ladies and gentlemen, I promise we'll get to your calls in just a minute, 800-449-8255. Another very interesting aspect of this is how quickly some of the media responded to this and came up with interviews, young people, students, who said, oh, this is the greatest thing. I mean, they had those things on right after the president spoke. These young kids, I mean, maybe wonderful kids, but they're here illegally and they're saying, oh, this is wonderful. It's a good thing for my people. I'm going to be able to go to college without fear, yada, yada, yada. But the interesting part of it is how quickly did they get these people on? Why did they know these people were ready to speak for that? This is just another one of those little insights that I wish we could hear from the Republican Party. What Mitt Romney needs to say, I'll get to in a minute, but if you listened, as I did, unfortunately, to Wolfie Blitzer for a while, he admitted something very interesting. About an hour and a half ago, he said he spoke to some of these people, at least one of these young ladies, the students. He said, we spoke to her, interviewed her just before the president's announcement. Well, duh. Apparently CNN had heads up to go with this thing. They knew what was going to happen. Yeah, okay. Just a little coordination between the White House and the media. What a big shock. This is what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. The President of the United States has determined that he can enforce some laws, some that he likes, not others. He doesn't enforce the ones like the Defense of Marriage Act that he doesn't like, so they don't enforce it. And now he's choosing to modify laws, which he doesn't have the power to do, and taking actions which I believe are contravening the laws of the United States. This is a very important moment in American history, and it's a very important moment in this presidential campaign. Let's get to your calls. I've got a lot more to say about this. Let's go to line 7, Ernest in New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
What this man is doing is an absurdity. For him to pass legislation and cram down our throats like he's a king? He's no king. You know, who does he think he is by saying that he'll give amnesty to these people, amnesty to that, and circumvent our laws and cram it down our throats? That really makes me mad. It really does.
Well, it makes me mad too, Ernest, and that's the problem we have with this president. He is not going to back down. He is someone who believes he can get away with this. Now, later in the show, we're going to be talking to Congressman Steve King of Iowa, who is going to sue the Obama administration to set aside this action. And I hope his lawsuit succeeds, but we won't know. Normally, in the district court, U.S. District Court, you can probably take a year or a year and a half before anything like this is resolved. It's not going to happen before the election. So let's get pretty angry about this. It is much like what you just said, Ernest. This guy believes he can behave like a king. And until someone stops him, and we have, I think, two other branches of government that might combine to do this, I mean, this is something that the people in the House and the Senate, the Republicans there, need to stand up and be counted on. They can't just sit back. And in the next segment, we're going to be talking about this, and I don't want to get into it right now because we're very close to the break. But the point of the matter is, we waited after President Obama spoke today and announced this radical change to American deportation policy, this radical imposition of his own position. We waited 5 hours until Mitt Romney said something about it. Romney was caught flat-footed. And when he came out and said something, and I'm going to play that clip for you in the next segment, the point is that when Romney came out and said something, he didn't say very much. He was trying to evade the questions of the reporters. One reporter asked him, if you were president, would you repeal these actions by Obama? He didn't answer the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a very, very tough time in the United States of America. The method of government, our constitutional basis for our government, is under threat. President Obama does not respect the Constitution. He does not respect the limits on his own powers. He will do what he pleases as much as he pleases, and we have to have someone stand up. We have to have a lot of someones stand up and stop this stuff. One thing that we should see from the House of Representatives, I think, on Monday when they get back, let's pull all the funding out of the Homeland Security Department. Let's stop this action by Obama. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation. Coming back to your calls at 1-800-449-8255. Stick with us.
There's still time for Congress to pass the DREAM Act this year, and we still need to pass comprehensive immigration reform, reform that gives our farmers and ranchers, our science and technology sectors, certainty that the young people who come here to earn their PhDs won't be forced to leave, and lives up to our heritage as a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants.
Well, there's the Everly Brothers. I guess they should have been the warm-up act for President Obama today. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Ladies and gentlemen, this should be a constitutional crisis. The President of the United States is deciding which laws he wants to enforce, which laws he wants to modify, which laws he wants to simply ignore. And this is being done under the office of the president. He does not have the power to do this. There is no law that says he can do this. But this guy is going to go on and on and on until someone in Congress or in the courts stops him. Those are the ways our government is supposed to work. This guy doesn't believe there are three equal branches of our government. That's the way the Constitution reads. That's what the founders intended. But President Obama, he just doesn't care. He's going to do what he wants to do to bolster his political base. And now we have the DREAM Act. Why is he saying that we need to have Congress pass the DREAM Act when he's doing it by executive fiat? Maybe he thinks he's on shaky ground. No, he doesn't feel like he's on shaky ground because he thinks, and he has very good reason to think, that the Republicans are going to cave in at the last minute. They're not going to take this to the mat. It's time, as they say in my old neighborhood, to go to the mattresses. This cannot stand. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Let's go right back to your calls. 800-449-8255. How about line one, John in Arizona? Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, how you doing? I got a little story for you. My wife is a green carded. She's had a green card for 19 years. She's a British citizen. So are all my kids, but I have a 17-year-old granddaughter who was okayed for her green card in 09, and her mother was part of that process. My wife was her financial sponsor. Mother took off, went back to England. My daughter cannot get into a NABIT program. I cannot get her a Social Security card. She's in high school, and she's an A student. I called INS 6.5 hours on the phone with a lovely young lady who went to 6 different supervisors trying to find a solution for this problem. Finally, they came up. They said, this last interview that your daughter was supposed to take your granddaughter to, the file is in the U.S. Embassy in London. It was accidentally sent to London.
Okay, John, you know, I love you, and I'm sympathetic to your problem, but I think the president just solved it today. Even if your granddaughter is here illegally, if her visa is up or if her status has changed, why should she be here illegally? The president said people like this, I mean, your granddaughter is 17 years old, right? She's been in this country for, what, 5-6 years or more?
She's been here 16 years and four
okay.
months.
All right. Well, but I'm not arguing with you, man. I'm trying to say this problem, you know, it's understandable that you'd be outraged by the bureaucracy. But it seems to me your granddaughter is someone who would be covered by this. It's not just for Hispanics. It's not just for people who have come here illegally and are on welfare. Unless I'm reading this wrong, your problem is now solved.
It's not solved, Jed. They told me the only way that she can get her green card is for her mother to die.
Well, you know, John, all I can tell you is I think this is a very sad case, and your granddaughter, I'm sure, is an admirable young person. But if we had a president here who obeyed the law, things would be done, and, you know, whether or not this case would be worked out to your satisfaction, the law would be enforced, the law would be executed. Right now, as I understand this nonsense that went on today, your granddaughter probably can stay here forever, and she could have a legal work permit, she can go to college, she can do whatever she wants. And, you know, I sympathize with you, but I am still aghast at what happened today. Our president is running amok. He is trashing the Constitution. John, thanks very much for calling in. All right, let's go to line 9. Eric in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation, sir.
Yes, Jeff. I think we're going at this whole situation the wrong way. What's the reason people come to this country legally? Number one, it's jobs, to work.
I'm not sure that that's absolutely true. I think a lot of people come here to get away from where they are. They're coming here to, you know, some of them, a lot of them, I'm afraid, are coming here simply not to work. They're here to take the benefits that our society provides. And right. An illegal immigrant can get free medical care if they can't pay for it. They can get on welfare in an awful lot of places. You know, this is a very, very big problem. Look at California. I mean, California is a mess for so many reasons. But California's schools and hospitals are so burdened by illegal immigrants, they basically have to go bankrupt. I mean, the whole state is going bankrupt because of that and many other reasons.
Well, I think we're spending money in the wrong direction. We're trying to round up illegal aliens at the borders like mice running back and forth. I think we should go after the employers, like in Western Europe where I've lived before. INS goes into companies and they fine them $10,000.
Eric, yeah, I think that'd be a great idea, and I think, you know, the e-card program was trying to do that, where people who could be here legally could get a job, and the e-verify system provided employers a means for, you know, checking out people's legal status before they did that. But think about what Obama did today. What he said was, if you're under 30, you've been here for more than 5 years, you came here when you were 16 or younger, you can have a legal work permit. You can't tell the employers to go fix this. Not anymore. Obama says, hey, you know, if you're here, you've been here for a while, you haven't committed a crime, or you haven't been convicted of a crime, we're going to let you have a legal work permit. That's not up to him. That would have to be something that Congress would enact, and has not done so. So I understand what you're saying, and there's some merit to it, but not anymore. There's some merit to a program where if we closed the borders, and if we had people here legally, they could prove that they had a legal status, and you have the E-Verify system, it's just there already. Then you can hold employers responsible to some degree. But right now, Obama has thrown all that out, Eric. Hey, great call. Thanks for it. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Let's go to line two. Josh in Alabama. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Jed, I got to tell you, I don't think this is much of a dream act. I think it's more of a nightmare act.
Yeah.
I got real worked up like you are, and then I realized that, you know, this president's not even got to do any of the stuff he said he was going to do today for it to have the effect he wants it to have. You know, he threw it out there. He's pumping up his base. You know, maybe he'll let a lot of folks in. Maybe he won't. But the important thing is, why did he do it? You know, all he did it was pump his base up.
Well, I think he did it for more than that. I mean, don't forget, this is the same guy who has his Justice Department, through our wonderful and talented and pretty Attorney General, Eric Holder. They are fighting states who want to have voter ID. Okay? They're trying to fight the idea that you should have to prove that you're here legally and that you are who you say you are in order to vote. So the payoff for this is, if people are here illegally and they get a permanent, or a two-year legal work permit, you know, they're here legally. And how are you going to say that they're not going to go to vote? This is what it's about. Josh, it's about votes. It's about nothing else. He doesn't need to whip up his base. His base is continuously whipped up. That's one of the things that distinguishes conservatives from liberals. Liberals are born angry. They're angry at everybody. They're angry at us. They're angry at you. They're not going to be satisfied until they have complete control of everything in our society. That's the nature of liberalism. So what Obama is doing here, it's a lot more than just whipping up his base. He's expanding his base. He's trying to get people to vote. And I don't think he and Eric Holder really care whether they vote legally or not. Why would you oppose, if you're going to have all of these people here illegally, make them legal, okay, that's illegal to start with, and he can't do it. But say he could. Say he could. Why would he not want to have voter ID? Why would he want to have people out there who have a legal work permit? Is that going to be something that's going to disqualify somebody from voting? I don't think so. If you can't prove that you're here legally, if you can't verify your citizenship, which is, after all, the fundamental requirement, the fundamental principle which allows you to vote, you can't vote in American elections if you're not an American citizen. But the point here is Obama doesn't like that either. So he's doing more than just pumping up the base, Josh. You know, I respect what you're saying, but it's a lot more than that. This guy has a big agenda, and the only thing on it is getting reelected.
Well, these Josh, are terrifying times for us all.
Well, they are, and all I can tell you is, as much as I hope that Obama gets kicked out in the fall, I'll tell you, I really just wonder when we're ever going to get rid of this guy, because we need to go, and Josh, thanks for the call. I've got to go to a different little bit of an aspect of this subject right now, a different aspect, because I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I am absolutely aghast. I am absolutely painfully aghast at what Mitt Romney did today. You had Obama do this at, 2 o'clock? Or no, it was much earlier than that. It was this morning. He came out and did his thing. We waited for almost 5 hours for Mitt Romney to respond. And when he responded, he sounded, you know, not quite like Obama, but he did not oppose what Obama did. This man is running against Obama. Obama is leading with his chin. Mitt Romney should have taken a big roundhouse swing at him. But what did he do? Guys, let's play it. Let's play the whole thing. Clip 13, please.
I believe the status of young people who come here through no fault of their own is an important matter to be considered and should be solved on a long-term basis so they know what their future would be in this country. I think the action that the president took today makes it more difficult to reach that long-term solution, because an executive order is, of course, just a short-term matter. It can be reversed by subsequent presidents. I'd like to see legislation that deals with this issue, and I happen to agree with Marco Rubio as he looked at this issue. He said that this is an important matter. We have to find a long-term solution, but that the president's action makes reaching a long-term solution more difficult. If I'm president, we'll do our very best to have that kind of long-term solution that provides certainty and clarity for the people who come into this country through no fault of their own by virtue of the action of their parents.
Really? Really? We're going to have a long-term solution. How is what he said different from what Obama said? Did he take issue with Obama? No. What Mitt Romney is saying is, well, I kind of sort of agree with what the president's doing, but I want to do the same thing in a different way. This is what we get from the Republican candidate. This is the leader of the Republican Party. You know, I love Marco Rubio. I think most of conservatives do. But the point is, he's coming up with a Republican version of the Dream Act that will do many of the same things that Obama wants to do. The difference between, and this, it's an important difference, but there's really not much of a difference between Obama and Romney on this, except Romney wants to do it by congressional action. He wants to follow the congressional process. He may get to the same point that Obama has gotten by his executive action, by just flouting the Constitution and flouting Congress. But what does Romney want? One of the reporters was trying to ask him, would you reverse this if you were president? He didn't answer the question. What the heck are you thinking, Governor Romney? It's your job to take issue with what Obama does when Obama is doing something wrong. And what Obama did today is far beyond wrong. This business of giving people who are illegal legal status to work for 2 years, renewable legal status, that's illegal itself. It's unconstitutional. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got to take another quick break. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Where is Mitt Romney coming out on this? Not well, I think. We'll be right back.
Savage.
We've seen this whole category of young people, and we need to go a step further, and this is the next logical step, and that is to actually defer action.
A step further, Janet Napolitano talking to Wolf Blitzer. The next step that's logical? Oh, yeah, don't worry about it being legal or constitutional, Ms. Napolitano. Let's just go ahead and do it. That's what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. We have a government that does not respect our Constitution and is tearing it up before our very eyes. Let's go right back to your calls at 800-449-8255. All right, line three, Ann in New York. Thanks for calling in, ma'am. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, too. I have 2 points. I'll try to be quick. I'm very blown away by the how disrespectfully he undermines our intelligence, as if we could be so stupid. Why is he bringing this so up close to his election? And how is it that he thinks that we cannot see through the fact that this is not going to stop here? This is a catalyst for his political advancement. And number two, I am not afraid of the politicians or the civilians that from a good place may find amnesty to be the right thing to do, or this fake, phony, fraudulent thing that he's passing, which he's going over Congress. My fear is with him. He's not coming from a good place. I am afraid that he's going to use our generosity, our goodwill, and then he will expand on that till it's beyond our control, and God knows what it's going to, you know, kind of spiral into.
I believe, and I think you're absolutely right. I think you've said it very, very well, and I think that's exactly what's going on. This thing has spun out of control. And again, we have a three-branch government here under our Constitution. The courts and the Congress are supposed to be able to control the executive when it gets out of hand and does things which are out of the law and out of our Constitution. And this is what's going on right now. So, again, we need to have the Republicans in Congress stand up, not 2 weeks from now, not 2 months from now, when they need to do it. The minute they get back to town, whether they come back in, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, it doesn't matter. Speaker Boehner ought to be calling them in right now. Say, come back, boys and girls. We're going at this. We're going at this first thing Monday morning, and we're going to have legislation to cut off the authority of the Homeland Security Department and the president to get this done. They have to do it. They have to stop the funding. They have to do it. It's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. Harry Reid and the Democrats are going to stop them. But this is the only way we can deal with this. And again, we're going to have Steve King, Congressman Steve King of Iowa, on the show later. He's going to be talking about his lawsuit to try to stop this. And you said it very, very well. You know, frankly, ma'am, I hope you get involved in politics yourself. All right, let's. We probably have time for one more. Let's go to line one. Bill in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, I think you're doing a good job filling in for the ace starter, Michael Savage.
Thank you.
Coming from the bullpen that you are, you're doing a good job.
There you go.
Now, before I make a statement about the Democrats, I wanted to preface this by coming up with this thing I heard a long time ago, and it's, if you put 100 monkeys in front of 100 typewriters, the odds are that eventually they could come up with one of William Shakespeare's masterpieces. The laws of averages, okay? Now, along those lines, let me say this about the Democratic Party. If you gave the Democrats 100 years of control, there is no way that they could ever come up with a republic. It is beyond them.
You're absolutely right, Bill. Look, I mean, no matter how long it would take for, you know, the 100 monkeys to type Shakespeare, you can put the liberals in charge, and all they do is tear down. This is what we had. Look, Obama keeps talking about, well, I don't have anybody who's going to compromise with me, and people are going to meet me halfway. How many votes did Obamacare get before it passed in the House and the Senate? Zero. How many votes from Republicans did the stimulus bill get? Zero. This is a guy who says it's my way or the highway, and when he gets to the point where he thinks he can't get away with it in Congress, when the Congress is no longer willing to do his bidding at the drop of a hat, what he'll do is just what he did today. He'll go out and just basically say, I'm rewriting the laws myself. I don't need Congress. I don't need the courts. I can do what I want to do because I'm president or king or emperor or whatever he thinks he is. This has got to stop, ladies and gentlemen. The only way it's going to stop is to have someone do, and I hope what Steve King does may succeed, but more than that, more importantly, the only way to stop this is to vote this guy out. If you don't have this guy out of there in November, I don't think our country can survive another 4 years of this president. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Coming back to you after the break, 800-449-8255. Much more on illegal immigration. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Be right back.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Send me the DREAM Act, put it on my desk, and I will sign it right away. Now, both parties wrote this legislation. Republicans walked away from it. It's still the right thing to do. The only thing that has changed, apparently, was the politics.
The only thing that's really changed. No. We just can't listen to this guy forever. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. President Obama today talking about his welcome mat for illegal aliens. This action today, if you haven't heard about it yet, you're going to hear about it right now. The president is changing the laws by presidential edict. What he's basically doing is saying, if you're under 30 years old, you came here illegally before you were 16, and you've been here for at least 5 years, haven't committed a crime, you're not going to be deported, even if there's a deportation action against you right now. And what's more, as we heard from Janet Napolitano of the famous Department of Homeland Insecurity, if your parents are here illegally, and we haven't started to try to deport them yet, we're not going to deport them either. So basically, that's, maybe arguably within the president's discretion. He's not even doing this by executive order. He's doing this by just a change in regulation and policy. What he's also doing, which is not within his power, he's also adding the idea that any of these people, any of these young people under 30, are also going to be given a work permit to work here legally. That's not his prerogative to do. The President of the United States can't just say, I can change someone by waving my magic wand from illegal to legal. He can't do that, but he's done it. He's done it. And unless we have one of the other branches of our government stand up right now and cancel this action by legislation, by cutting off the funding for the Department of Homeland Security so they can't do this, this is the last resort, ladies and gentlemen. Unless Congressman Steve King or other people like him can get the courts to intervene, this is going to end our policy against illegal immigration. All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage. We can play Dream, Dream, Dream by the Everly Brothers forever. The Dream Act the president keeps talking about was defeated by Congress. The Congress said no. This law would say if you're in college, if you're an illegal immigrant, you can maybe stay, you can get path to citizenship. What does he need this action for if he thinks he can do it himself? Why does Obama need the Congress at all? The truth of the matter is he thinks he doesn't, but he knows back down deep, he knows he can't do this legally. He's going to do it anyway. He's going to continue, and he's going to continue with other things. What else is he going to do? This is a president of the United States who chooses what laws he needs to, what laws he thinks he wants to enforce. So what else can he change? I mean, are we going to have tax hikes by presidential edict? I don't think he even believes he can get away with that. Who knows? He might try somehow, trying to change the way the Internal Revenue Code is enforced. What else is he going to do? I don't know, same-sex marriage in the military? I mean, they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and we've got the president and his attorney general, the lovely and talented Eric Holder, refusing to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act. These guys are out of control, ladies and gentlemen. The Republicans have to stand up and be counted. And I'll tell you, as I said in the last hour, I am really disgusted. Really, really frustrated by what Mitt Romney said today. It's his job to lead the Republican Party. The majority of the Republican Party, the majority of Americans don't want to make compromises on illegal immigration that's going to hurt this country. They're not going to make compromises on things like the president is doing just illegally, automatically making people legal. This is not the way we do business in the United States of America. It's not the way we do politics. It's not the way we do law. This is like a banana republic. This is a president of a banana republic, not the president of the United States. All right, getting right back to your calls, 800-449-8255. Let's go to line 7, Scott in Indiana. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Jed, you're great. You're right on target. You know, there's two ways to look at this illegal immigration thing. You know, the one that seems to be popular among the politicians, at least on the left, is to focus on the emotional side. You know, a lot of us have seen that movie, A Better Life. You know, it basically covers the plight of illegals in this country. And, you know, I got a heart. I believe that every person that crosses that Rio Grande has a story. But, however, the only way that we can look at this as a society, as a nation, as a country, is in the logical way. We are a republic. By definition, we are a nation of laws. The American people ostensibly voice their opinions through their legislators, and so the only safe conclusion is that the laws that are on the books are what the American people want. And if they don't want that, they need to change the laws, and there are ways that we do that we've done for, you know, the whole time we've been this grand republic. And that's the way things need to be done. And so, I have to finish by saying this. I think your argument, really, the ominous thing, the real argument is not illegals here. It's the rule of law. It's preserving the things that make this country work.
Yeah, Scott, I disagree with you in part. And obviously we're a nation of laws, unless we have Obama as president, and we have a constitution that's supposed to prevent the president from doing things like he's doing. But I'm really not that sympathetic to illegal immigration. I'm not sympathetic at all. I mean, we are a nation of immigrants. Sure, my great-grandparents came over here from places in Europe, and they had to be legal. They came in legally. They followed the rules. They assimilated into our society, and they became good Americans. And my grandparents and my parents and me, we are a nation of immigrants, but we are not a nation of illegal immigrants. And no matter how many people have good stories, no matter how many people are fleeing oppression or just coming here because they don't want to live in the rat hole they're currently living in, they have to come in legally. I am not sympathetic to anybody who breaks American laws. And you're right. We are a nation of laws. We have to respect those laws, and we have to have people in our White House and in Congress and in the courts who enforce those laws. A president of the United States is not entitled to say, I don't like this law, I'm not going to enforce it. Or I don't like this law, I want to change it, so I'm just going to make sure, I'm just going to pretend like it's changed. I'm just going to act as if it were changed, regardless of whether Congress has changed it. This is a lawless administration. It is a destructive action. And I'm trying to remain calm here, ladies and gentlemen, but it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough. We have a president of the United States who is not obeying the Constitution, who does not respect it, and we have a lot of people out there, and I'm coming back to Governor Romney. Governor Romney, in responding hours later, to President Obama, basically said that he wanted the same thing that Obama wanted, except he wants to go through Congress to do it. Now, I'm glad he at least respects our three-branch government, but I am appalled that the leader of the Republican Party would come out and say what Mitt Romney did and say, oh, well, you know, we got to have a long-term solution to this and yada, yada. We'll play that clip again later. I don't want to hear it again and again and again, and neither do you. But I really think we have to get Mr. Romney to focus. He is the leader of the Republican Party. He's the opponent to Obama. When Obama does something bad and wrong, like he did today, Romney's got to get up on his hind legs and oppose him. He can't just mealy-mouth it and go just say he's going to go along with it. All right. Hey, Scott, thanks very much for the call. Let's go to line 9. Daniel in Las Vegas. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Jeb, you're frustrated. I'm pissed. Look, this president knows he can do anything he wants, because the worst thing the Republicans are going to do is say, shame on you, Mr. President. Look, he's done executive orders, 126 of them. He bypasses the Congress and the Senate, and like you said, he just does it anyway. He don't care. I mean, because the Republicans are afraid of being called a name, racist or something, by the media, and they're just scared to death.
Well, you know, I think you're right, Daniel, and we see that again and again and again. You know, I was just talking the other day with, pardon me, a good friend of mine, Congressman Louis Gohmert, and he reeled off a whole string of things the Republicans have caved on. I mean, they caved on the debt ceiling a couple of times now. I mean, the whole point is they continue to cave because they're scared. They don't want to have the government shut down and get blamed for it. You know what? If they don't have the guts enough to do that, if they don't have the guts enough to cut this guy's funding off, because that's really all they can do, if they don't have the guts to do that, what the heck are they there for? I mean, if you're going to take if you're going to let this guy just trash the Constitution, change laws by presidential edict, how do you stand up and say you're even a party? And you look at what's going on right now. This country does not have secure borders. If we did, I, for one, would be more amenable to some sort of immigration reform, but I don't even want to hear about it. Before our borders are secure, a nation is not a nation unless you've got secure borders. And the Republicans need to get a spinal transplant, pardon me, and really get into the game here. Mitt Romney needs to be a lot tougher. John Boehner needs to be a lot tougher. Mitch McConnell's pretty tough, but he doesn't have a majority over in the Senate, and we need to give it to him the end of this year. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this country is going in a direction we can't afford it to go. And unless and until Barack Obama is booted out of the White House in November, we're not going to see anything get much better. Hey, Daniel, thanks very much for calling. Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. Look, we're going to take a break a little bit early here because I want to come back to your calls, and I want to talk to you about what Mitt Romney said today. We're going to play that clip again. Do you think Mitt Romney should be going along with Obama? Do you think what Marco Rubio said today, and he's drafting a Republican version of the Dream Act, which kind of sounds like a nightmare to me? Two questions to you, ladies and gentlemen. Should Mitt Romney have been tougher? Shouldn't he still be tougher against Obama on this? And what's going on with Rubio? Is he having some sort of a brain lapse here? All right, Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Got to take a quick break. Be right back to you.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage tonight. And, you know, it just occurred to me that what President Obama did today, it might have been an advertisement for Michael's book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Because this is what we've got. We've got a president of the United States saying, I'm going to change the law. Congress doesn't need to be involved. I'm just going to do it myself. And I'm not going to respect the issue of anybody. saying to me that I don't have the power to do this. I'm not going to respect the Constitution. I'm not going to respect the courts. This is a guy who needs to have somebody stand up to him and bring it up short. And we hoped, I hoped, Mitt Romney would say something about this. But what we had from Mitt Romney today, hours and hours after Obama spoke, it exemplifies just what the CNN headlines are saying right now. They're saying, Republicans cornered by Obama. Well, you know what? If you let yourself be cornered, you're going to be cornered. And what Romney said today, and we're going to play that for you in just a second, what Romney said today was really not much different from what Obama said, except what he's doing is he's saying, pardon me, we have a need to go through Congress. Well, he's to be respected for that. But what in bloody hell is he thinking? The American people do not want comprehensive immigration reform. We passed that bridge. We blew up that bridge back in 2007 when Bush and McCain and Kennedy were trying to foist that off on us. And that died a very natural political death. But what Romney is saying now is, well, we're going to go along with some sort of new version of the Dream Act. And we're going to let Obama's policy basically go there. He's scared of what's going on with the Hispanic community. He's been outmaneuvered by the president. And Mitt Romney needs to stand up and be counted on this. Let's listen to what he said today. It's a long clip. We're going to play it anyway. Clip 13, please, guys.
I believe the status of young people who come here through no fault of their own is an important matter to be considered and should be solved on a long-term basis so they know what their future would be in this country. I think the action that the president took today makes it more difficult to reach that long-term solution because an executive order is, of course, just a short-term matter. It can be reversed by subsequent presidents. I'd like to see legislation that deals with this issue, and I happen to agree with Marco Rubio as he looked at this issue. He said that this is an important matter, but we have to find a long-term solution, but that the president's action makes reaching a long-term solution more difficult. If I'm president, we'll do our very best to have that kind of long-term solution that provides certainty and clarity for the people who come into this country through no fault of their own by virtue of the action of their parents.
And that's not to say, that is not to say we're going to continue to deport illegal immigrants. That is not to say that I object to what Obama did. What all Mitt Romney is saying is I object to the way he did it. That's just not good enough. That's not what we look. This is the kind of issue, ladies and gentlemen, I've been saying since 2008. The problem with Mitt Romney is Mitt Romney is going to not have people energized to vote for him in November. He's not going to do it. People are going to listen to this and say, yeah, okay, so the real difference is he wants to do it by legislation. Obama wants to do it by presidential edict. Same result. Same result, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Romney, I respect you. I'm going to vote for you. I will vote for you gladly. But you've got to get people energized. You've got to stand up for principle. And right now, I don't know where you stand. Mitt Romney, you said, I think it was about a year ago, that if the Dream Act came to your desk as president, you'd veto it. That's not what you're saying today. What you're saying is you want a very important problem to be judged and to be dealt with in a long-term solution. This is not what we need to hear from a Republican, a supposed conservative. This is not what we need to hear. You need to stand up on your hind legs. The people in Congress need to stand up on this. And I hope Steve King, when he talks to us later, will explain to us how he plans to win his lawsuit against this. All right, I think we got, we may not have time for a quick call. Yeah, we don't have time for a call before the break. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm pretty revved up about this. I suspect you are, too. We're going to get right back to your calls after the break. 800-449-8255. Again, what should Mitt Romney do right now? Let's just set aside the idea of what he did today. He's basically saying the same thing that Obama says, except he wants to do it by legislation instead of by the stroke of a presidential pen. What should he do? I have some idea that I've said it a little bit. I'm going to say it again. I need to hear from you. What do you think Mitt Romney needs to do? What will energize you to turn out to vote for him? Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Don't forget to check out michaelsavage.com. We'll be right back.
7.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. We're still talking, because we have to, about what President Obama did today, changing a law by presidential edict, going beyond his constitutional powers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a constitutional crisis, whether Mitt Romney and John Boehner recognize it as such. This is something that cannot stand. It is a damage to our system of government. It is a damage to the Constitution. Somebody needs to stand up to this guy and bring this thing to a halt. All right, let's get right back to your calls. How about line 6? Marshall in South Carolina, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for calling in, sir.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, this little bit with the immigration amnesty bit and down in Florida, what President Obama is doing is campaigning to be able to commit voter fraud. This is a crime, and if I'm not mistaken, does fall under the high crimes and misdemeanors clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Well, you're talking about impeachment, okay? And I'm not quite ready to go there, although I think this is something that comes really, really close. But the point is, he's not campaigning for voter fraud. What his actions are today didn't say, well, people who are illegal immigrants should be able to vote. That's the other half of the equation. The other half of the equation is you have the Department of Justice, which with Eric Holder at its helm is completely misnamed. You have the Department of Justice out there suing states to try to prevent them from enforcing voter ID laws. And that is basically supporting voter fraud. That's something that the United States Department of Justice should not be doing. This is something the states should be able to do. It's not a question of discrimination. It's a question of someone proving their citizenship. Everybody should have to prove that they are legally entitled to vote. And when I go to the polls here in Virginia, I vote in Northern Virginia, and every time I go to vote, and I vote every time I can, I go to the polls, I pull out my driver's license, or I pull out my voter ID card, and it's very simple. What is the problem? If you can't get an ID card that shows that you're legally here, you shouldn't vote. It's not a burden on anybody that is insurmountable, that takes more than a few minutes of your time. Yeah, okay, we can all stand in line a little once in a while at the DMV, and it's no fun. But this is not something which should be opposed by our government. So, again, Marshall, I hear what you're saying. I'm mightily tempted to say right here that this guy ought to be impeached, but I'm not quite ready to go that far yet. Yeah, give me another 10 minutes. I may get there. All right, thanks for calling in. Let's go to line 10, Joe in New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. First of all, you know, with these illegals, they're saying that the voter, you know, the ID is, they can't get there, they can't discriminate. But meanwhile, they could find an emergency room in a hospital, right? All 10, 20 Mexicans, whatever, and get whatever done, take care of the sniffles, this and that. But what pisses me off is that basically now this is going to give the green light for all of them, and I'm telling you, most of them, I said, south of the border. I mean, you got a lot of Irish that come over here, they're visiting, but you see them 3 years later still tending bar, all right? And then you also got, you know, the Chinese, and these people, and then here, but living in Manhattan.
Whoever it is, whoever, Joe, it doesn't matter, whoever it is. If you're here illegally, I don't care if you're from Britain or Guatemala, you're here illegally.
Yes, exactly.
And you should be subject to the law.
Yes, exactly, and the whole thing is that this president is going around a lot, and that's why they created the National Defense Authorization Act, because you don't think this guy is going to leave the White House easy? I think this guy is either going to surprise, or he's going to have martial law, and then that's basically going to be it. He's going to do away with term limits, and I don't put anything past him.
I hear you, pal. You know, I'm from New York, too, and I want to be as tough on this guy as I can reasonably, but I want to stay in the realm of the facts. Right now, you know, I hear things. I mean, some of my ex-military friends say, oh, well, you know, he's going to declare martial law. Come on. That's not going to happen. This guy is going to slide past the election by doing things in contravention of the Constitution, But he's not going to end all of our rights. He's not going to shut off the press. He's not going to, you know, kill the internet, although he's trying to regulate it again illegally. But this, you know, let's not get too out of control here. We need to remember who we're dealing with. We're dealing with a liberal. By definition, a liberal is untruthful and only has one thing in mind: to keep to gain and keep power and to expand the power of the government. That's all this guy is about. I don't care where he's from. I don't care what he believes in. I know he's a liberal, and that's good enough for me. That's why I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney, even though right now, today, I got to tell you, it's painful for me to even say that. Joe, thanks for calling in. I don't know what part of New York you're from, but I grew up in the North Bronx, pal, so probably not too far from where you are. All right, let's go to line 8, Anna in Delaware. Welcome to the Savage Nation, ma'am. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I think Romney needs to come out very strongly against the president for his action. He is sending a message to the world that do not try to come here legally. You'll be better off if you come illegally, because we won't do anything to you. You get more benefits if you come here illegally than if you go through due process, pay the fees and everything else involved in it. And so he's sending a very bad message to the world that we're not going to prosecute or do anything to you if you're an illegal in this country.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's worse than that, Anna. I mean, it's not just that people are going to come in here and you know, get the benefits and all the rest of that. This is a president who does not respect the Constitution and thinks he can do things which the Congress has the power to do without congressional involvement. And Mitt Romney, you know, God love him, he needs to stand up on his hind legs and go after this guy. He needs to stand for something. Again, if he does not stand for something, if he can't respond on things like this, he's going to lose an awful lot of people. They're just not going to go along with it. They're just not going to support him in the fall. When November 6th comes around, people are going to face the question, well, do I need to go to vote or do I just go down and get another latte? And if we have more of this very, very, I don't want to say a bad word here, and I'm struggling not to. If we don't have a more forceful candidate than Mitt Romney is characterizing himself as now, he's just not going to win. Anna, great call. Thanks for it. Let's go to line 5. Lori in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Romney handled it. When I heard your call, when you said he was going to play the clip, I was expecting something much different than what I heard, and I think the way he handled it was quite good. He didn't give the left any fuel to come after him and say, oh, he hit you. He's one of these young children. It's a very emotional issue. I think he handled it well.
Well, you know, Lori, let me beg to disagree with you, because what you're saying is exactly the way Mitt Romney is playing this. He didn't give the other guys ammunition to attack him. You can't win a presidential election by playing defense. You can't be running and hiding and worrying about everything you say. Well, is Wolf Blitzer going to chew on me, or is Diane Sawyer going to call me a nasty name? You know, the point here is you have to be courageous. You have to show why it's somebody, that you are somebody, that people will get up off the couch, put down that extra cup of coffee, and go to the polls and vote for. I don't think he handled it well at all. I think he blew it. And what is it, ladies and gentlemen? What do you think? I mean, how do you characterize Mitt Romney's response? Is it courageous? I don't think so. Is it principled? I don't think so. I think it's defensive. And Lori, I think you're saying, you know, one school of thought here. This is where you're coming from, and I don't want to impute to you membership in that dreaded thing, the Republican establishment, but this is how the Republican establishment plays. It's always on defense. And, you know, it's just, you can't win an election by retreating. You know, you can't win an election by saying, I'm going to say things only that I don't get attacked on. He has to pick useful fights. Obama is picking fights with him every day. That long and tedious speech yesterday, we're going to talk about it a little bit later in the show, that economic speech that Obama gave, it was nonsense. It was garbage. And Romney didn't respond to that either. He's got to stand up. He's got to stand up on his hind legs and sound presidential and be presidential, or people are just going to ignore him. They're just going to stay home. Hey, great call. Thanks for it. I think we've got time for one or two more before the break. Let's go to line 4. Mike in Santa Maria, thanks for calling in. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jed. Sure good show you got going on there.
Thank you.
You know, one thing I think that Romney could say to Obama is that he can point out the fact that all these young kids graduate from high school all across the nation coming out with their hard-earned diplomas. How are they going to find a job? I think with the youth unemployment rate is like 7 out of 10, and I think he just slashed their chances a little bit more.
Well, that's probably right. I mean, it's almost certainly right. If you're going to give people illegally, give these people legal work permits, I mean, they're going to take jobs that would go to somebody else. And I just don't understand how the Republican Party and its nominee can't sit back and say, we're going to fight this, and stand up in front of the cameras and say, within minutes of what Obama said, stand up right there, call up the network news, can, you know, pull the campaign bus over to a corner and say, hey, we're holding a press conference right now, and we're taking issue with this guy. We're not going to stand by and let him do things that are unconstitutional. We're not going to stand by and let him do things that are wrong without taking action, without coming out and really, really opposing him. And Mike, I think they've just got to do this.
Also, like your idea about Congress cutting off the funding, and I might like to suggest one other thing they might want to try to do is just cutting off all the future visas, saying since you're planning on giving 800,000 visas to these people that crowded ahead of the line, that we're going to have to just stop giving visas and maybe turn this thing around on Obama.
Well, you know, there's a difference between what you're suggesting, and I don't disagree with that. The problem is if you don't have a Republican Senate, you ain't going to do that. And if you don't have a Republican president, you're not going to do that. The House of Representatives can do one thing and one thing only. If they stand fast, if they say, no matter what else happens, if the government shuts down, if an asteroid hits the earth, we are going to say you're not going to get any funding for this. That's the only power they've got, the power of the purse. And unless and until they have courage enough to use it, nothing's going to happen. No one's going to respect them. And Speaker Boehner and Eric Cantor, the majority leader, they've got to get off their duffs on this. They've just got to do it. Hey, Mike, great call. Thanks for it. All right, one more before the break. Let's go to line 7, Mary in Arizona. Thanks for calling in, ma'am. Glad to talk to you. Jed Babin for Michael Savage.
Hi there. Listen, Jeb Bush's hands are all over this whole thing, and Rubio cannot say anything because he is of that cloth. Romney is tethered by his church's ethos because they have lines down into Mexico when his family was
you know, Mary, wait a minute. I mean, you're attacking these people for what their ethnicity is or their religion is. Come on. That's not the way we debate things here. We debate things here on the basis of the facts and on the politics of it. You know, I'm not going to say Mitt Romney is doing something or not doing something because he's a Mormon. I don't have any proof of that, and I don't believe it. I think he's a good person. I don't think he's conservative enough. I don't think he's strong enough, but that's not the thing. And don't attack Marco Rubio for being one of them. I've met Marco Rubio. He's a solid American. He's a solid conservative, and he's got a different opinion on this. Is he as bad as John McCain? No. I mean, nobody except for Lindsey Graham is as bad as John McCain, but let's not do this. Mary, I just don't like debating these things on that basis. I want to stick to facts. I want to stick to politics. For me, politics is a full contact sport, but it's off base to be saying, well, he's one of them, whether he's a Mormon, he's a Hispanic. That's just not how we do things. That's the way the Democrats do things. It's the politics of personal destruction. It's a politics of bigotry, and I don't want to do that. All right, we've got to take a quick break and be right back to you. Jed Babin for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. We're talking about what Mitt Romney should do. I think what he said today, basically agreeing with Obama, basically saying the only difference between him and Obama is he'd do it by statute, not by presidential edict. That's not what we need from a conservative. That's not what we need from the leader of the Republican Party. Do you agree? All right, let's go to line 3. Jimmy in Texas. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi, brother. I agree with you, but most of the things you're saying. But
Romney, I'm going to vote for him, but the people that are not as intelligent as you and I, in my opinion, they got to have somebody with some cojones. That's what I want. And I want the man to get up and stand up and forget about all the BS and go through it and do it. And I'm going to tell you, the president is guilty of treason, Jeff, a bunch of times before today. I love you.
Well,
God bless y'all.
Jimmy, thank you. I don't go along with the treason charge. That's a little bit far. I think what he's doing is unconstitutional. I think he's damaging this nation. I think it's a darn shame that it's not a prosecutable crime, what he's doing with leaking America's most top secret information. But I think at this point, you're right. I mean, Romney needs to stand up on his hind legs. We're looking for something that we're not seeing. We need to have a presidential candidate who is absolutely going out and doing the right thing and standing up and opposing Obama. All right, hey, Jimmy, great call. You know, we always get a lot of good common sense people from Texas. Jimmy's one of them, obviously. All right, one more before the break. Let's go to, how about line six, Mary in New York. Thanks for calling in, ma'am.
Yes, with all due respect, Governor Romney, if he's to be elected, you should be giving him a pass for being cautious.
Why? Why should I give him a pass?
No, if you and your audience are aware, Obama usually pulls these negative news briefs on a Friday when hardworking Americans, and I do say Americans, are working or trying to find work. Yes.
So why does that relieve Romney of the obligation to stand up and be counted?
Constitution and how it runs, but myself and the other callers should be calling their local Congress reps plus Boehner, and state that this is not the American way. And people on the radio, such as yourself, and I have all due respect for Michael Savage, you need to band behind Romney.
Well, you know, Mary, I agree that I want to support Romney, and I agree that I will personally support him when he's right. But I am not such a party man to say that he should not be up there fighting for what our principles are. He told us he was a conservative. He ran as a conservative. He said in about a year ago, maybe it was in one of the debates a little less than a year ago, he said if he were presented as president with the Dream Act, he'd veto it. That's not what he said today. I like a guy who is not crazy. I like a guy who is rational and deliberate. But being cautious, playing this on the defense all the time, it's not the way to win. If Mitt Romney wants to win, he's got to give people a reason to vote for him. And he doesn't do that by standing up like he did today and say, really, effectively, the only difference between me and Obama is we want to get to the same point, but I want to go through Congress. You know, we don't need to support him when he's wrong. I mean, that's the beauty of the conservative movement. We criticize people who are wrong. We support people who are right. And even our friends, even our closest friends, when they're wrong, will say that they're wrong. Mary, I go ahead. I'm sorry.
Friday.
Well, it's only Friday, but Mitt Romney had hours and hours and hours to stand up and say something. It would have been better if he said nothing today and said something good tomorrow than what he did today after a few hours to stand up and say, you know, again, what he said is basically, I agree with what Obama's goals are. I just want to get there from a different path.
No, he was being a gentleman at this time, but next week I'm sure he'll regain his composure or whatever. But people on the radio need to back him up.
Well, back him up when he's right, Mary. But I'm not a Rombot. I'm going to vote for him. I'm going to make sure that I do everything I can to support him when he's right. And, you know, we're going to be on the attack and get after Obama every time we can because he's wrong. I can't support someone every time, especially when he's wrong. Jed Babin for Michael Savage taking a quick break. Be right back to you. 800-449-8255. Stick with us.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language,
adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This morning, Secretary Napolitano announced new actions my administration will take to mend our nation's immigration policy. These are young people who study in our schools, they play in our neighborhoods, they are Americans in their heart, in their minds, in every single way but one, on paper.
On the paper, just doesn't matter whether it's the Constitution or law or whatever. Jed Babbitt sitting in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation at 800-449-8255. That was President Obama this morning, well, actually early this afternoon, talking about his new action. His action without Congress, without the courts, without anybody giving him a legal basis to do that. And what he's doing is a couple of things. He's saying, we're not going to deport any illegal aliens under the age of 30, if they got here before they were 16 and haven't been convicted of a crime, been here for 5 years, and we're going to also give them a legal work permit. By his magic wand, Obama is changing the illegal to the legal. And this is something, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be a constitutional crisis. It is something that Mitt Romney should have responded to very strongly. But what Romney said effectively was, yeah, okay, I kind of agree with where Obama's going, but I'd do it by congressional action rather than presidential edict. That's not what we need to hear. What we need to hear from you is, what do you think the Republicans should do? What should Romney do? What should Romney, should he stand up on his hind legs and say, I said a year ago, as he did, that I would veto the DREAM Act if it came to me as president? That's not what he said today. He needs to stand up on his hind legs. Let's see what you think. 800-449-8255. Let's go to line 5. Richard in Idaho. Thanks for calling in, sir. This is the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hey, I have a just quick point. To me, these, you know, I'm trying to figure out what law these people broke. I mean, if you come over here with your parents, you don't have a choice in the matter. So, and I think we're a kind and compassionate nation, so I don't think deporting people, if, as long as they met those requirements, is a good thing.
Well, wait a minute. They didn't meet the requirements. If their parents came over illegally, well, and they are here illegally. Well, but that's, wait a minute. That's the whole point, is they are here illegally. They are not legal citizens. You might want to be compassionate. You might want to say, we want to give them amnesty. But that's not what Obama is doing. And what he's doing is violating the Constitution in order to get there. There is no way Obama can say that he is following his oath of office as president. His oath of office said he should, excuse me, that he would protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution says Congress makes laws. The president doesn't. And the president is violating those laws right now. He's just overturning them by saying, we're going to say these guys are legal. Even though the Congress has said that they are illegal, we're going to say they're legal. And that's a violation of the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. So what I'm telling you is, you may want to be compassionate. And I'm a compassionate guy, too. But my compassion does not extend to saying I'm going to ignore the law. If I were president, I would not do what Obama is doing and say, I'll just enforce the laws that I like. What if he decides, well, as he apparently has, that the laws and the regulations governing the dissemination of classified information, I don't like those either, so I'm just going to make everything unclassified. Instead, what he's doing is he's damaging our constitutional method and our constitutional government. This is not what we need from a president of the United States. It's precisely the opposite, Richard.
When they're 4, and you want to send them back when they're 18, and a lot of these served in the military. Look, I don't agree with Obama on hardly anything. This is one thing that I think I do agree with him on, and I think that Romney did the right thing by not picking a battle over this, because you have to be, we're a great nation, we're a compassionate nation, and if someone comes over here when they're five, you don't want to send them back to Mexico. Just, I mean, that's crazy.
Well, it's not crazy, Richard. It's our law. And if we want to change the law, that's something else, okay? But the law is what it is. This is a nation of laws, as we always say that. We, even Obama says that, but he's giving lip service to it. Obama is saying, this is a nation of men. It's dependent on my judgment. I can do what I want to do, and I don't care what the Constitution says. That's what's going on here, Richard. You may be a very passionate and compassionate guy. You may love Obama for any number of reasons. You may just love him on this one issue. But the point of the matter is, what Obama is doing contravenes the Constitution. If people are here illegally, you can do two things. You can either enforce the law or you can change the law. And what Obama is doing is something, the third thing, which is override the law. That's unconstitutional. Hey, appreciate your call very much. Let's go to line 10. David in Boston. Welcome to the Savage Nation, sir.
Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
I'm great.
I got three quick points. Number one, I can't stand Obama. It's the worst disaster that's ever happened to our country. Number
okay,
two,
point one, we agree.
Okay, number two, I think we agree on too. Mitt Romney is just a wimp. He needs to toughen up. He needs to take some harsh stands and advocate some strong measures on, regarding tax reform and regarding immigration reform.
Well, yeah, three, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call him a wimp, but he does need to man up on these things, and he can't win unless he does. Okay, number three.
Okay, he threads the needle too much for me. But anyway, number three, I think this is a great thing. Suddenly, they're going to have 800,000 to a million currently undocumented illegal immigrants. Now they're going to be documented. Now when Romney gets elected, he can deal with them appropriately, whatever that is.
Well, what makes you think that they're all going to be registered? The way that they've framed this thing, you're not going to get registered. You're not going to have anything happen to you unless you come in and apply for this delay. And, you know, those people who want to come in and register for a work permit, yeah, they'll be registered. They'll be here legally at that point. And what are you going to do then? Is Romney going to come in and say, well, I'm going to reverse what Obama did? That's precisely the question he ducked today. He didn't say that in response to a reporter's question. He just ignored the question. So if Romney comes in and leaves this thing in place, they're going to be registered, but so what? They're going to be here and working legally. I just don't buy it. And you know, David, I know you mean well with this, but you know, you have to look at how these things work. These people are not going to register unless they have some specific benefit that they will obtain from registering. Those who want to work legally might do that. On the other hand, why would any employer care if they're going to be here legally? Because they can get legal status as a work permit anyway. So what's to say any employer saying, yeah, you know, I don't care if you're legal or not. I'm just going to hire you anyway. I mean, where does that come down? It just does not work.
There are laws in place. They shouldn't hire illegal aliens, but, you know.
Well, but they're going to be legal. They're going to be legal now. And, you know, what's to say? And why should any employer bother to even determine whether somebody's legal or not if they can be made legal by the wave of the president's magic wand?
Well, you're right, but there still is a law they're supposed to follow. But if these people are willing to come forward, then at least we have a list of people that when we do have immigration reform, whatever that is, at least we've identified you know, some portion of that population that currently is undocumented, uncounted, and unable to be located. But
well, I appreciate that, David, but you know, my last point on this is, you know, we all think now at this point that they're going to be registered, as you say. I don't believe that. But the other thing that goes to my point and makes my argument a little bit heavier than yours, I think, the people at Homeland Security are not terribly competent. They're not going to be any better than the GSA clowns. They're not going to be better than any other bureaucracy. So the one thing we can count on is they're probably going to screw this thing up so badly. They're going to have all kinds of mess and files and lose things and be disorganized. This is the kind of thing that will get lost. Like you remember the end scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they take the Lost Ark into a GSA warehouse and it gets buried forever? You know, that's where this whole thing is. You know, David, you've got a lot more faith in our government than I do. They can screw up anything. So let's see what happens. I'm not convinced that any of this is going to work except to the detriment of our country. David, thanks very much for the call. Let's see, one quick one before the break. Let's go to line 9. Francisco in Arizona, thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. I just wanted to say that, you know, Romney should just tighten up his belt and just stand up for it.
Because, yeah.
All it is just amnesty for and guaranteed the vote for the Democratic Party, and they just want to control this. And, you know, it's just a big mess. And then once, even if you give them legal status, then what are they going to do? Give them unemployment if they can't find a job?
Sure. I mean, they're going to get that anyway. I mean, a lot of them in a lot of states, they get unemployment benefits whether they're legal or not. All this is going to do is make it easier.
Exactly. And then, you know, it's on the taxpayers, you know. You know, I'm an American of Mexican descent.
Okay.
But I just don't like the way this country's going. I don't like Obama's policies. And it just infuriates me that to hear what all he's trying to do is just, you know, a political move. And it's just upsetting for me.
Well, you know? It's upsetting to every good American, Francisco, and I count you among them. This is a problem, ladies and gentlemen. We had a country here. We had a country here. That was the strongest economy, the strongest military, the safest, most free nation in the world. And this is just being whittled away before our very eyes when you have a president of the United States stand up and say, I'm going to change the law and I don't need Congress to do it. That's not what Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and John Adams, that's not what they thought of. That's not how they wrote our Constitution. This is a nation of laws. Obama has changed it to something very different. We've got to get this guy out of there in November. I just hope we can do it, riding the Mitt Romney horse. All right, hey, thanks for the call, Francisco. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Going to take a quick break later in the show. Coming back, too, at the bottom of the hour with Congressman Steve King, who is suing Obama to set aside what happened today. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. Don't forget to check michaelsavage.com for the top stories of the day. We're still talking. We're still talking about what President Obama did today, changing the law on illegal immigration just by the stroke of his pen, just by the wave of his magic wand, which he can't do. That is absolutely an unconstitutional act. Yeah, they probably can get away with the idea that it's so-called prosecutorial discretion to not deport young illegals who have been here for a certain amount of time and haven't broken the law, etc. But the idea that the president can say, we're going to give you a legal work permit, we're going to transform you from illegal to legal just because we say so, he can't do that. This is a nation of laws. This is a constitutional nation. It's a constitutional republic. And heaven help us if we don't get rid of this guy in November. All right, let's go back to your calls. How about line 8, Jane in Spokane, Washington. Thanks for calling in, ma'am. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Awesome to talk to you, Jeb.
Thank you.
Likewise. You were talking about how the media, all of a sudden, you know, they like were all ready to respond to this.
Of course
they were.
And
I don't know, you aware of the Time magazine cover that was out this week?
You know, I get it in the mail, but I don't read it. It just goes in the trash with the rest of the junk mail. What did
it
say?
Good place for it. But this week it says, Time, on the front, a bunch of Hispanic-looking people, probably others. Time, we are Americans, not just legally. And I find it so ironically that President Obama practically used those same words, that these are Americans.
Well, Jane, I don't know. You're probably in the other Washington, where there's still probably a little bit of sanity left, but I've been in this town long enough to tell you there ain't no coincidences. And when I heard, I think I spoke about this earlier in the show, when you had Wolf Blitzer say that they were doing some of these interviews of the young students who are now going to be helped. They're here illegally, but Obama is their savior. And when Blitzer was saying, well, you know, we interviewed this gal moments before the president's statement. Yeah, there's no coincidence. I mean, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure that there was cooperation between the White House press office and Time magazine, between the White House press office and Wolf Blitzer and CNN, and who knows who else. I mean, you got to remember, these guys still have weekly phone calls that go on between people like George Stephanopoulos, who is supposedly a journalist. He was Clinton's flack. Now he's Clinton's flack and Obama's flack on ABC News. Carville is on those calls, some of the people from the White House press office. There's strategy calls. And, of course, you're going to see Time magazine do this. You're going to see CNN. I mean, I'm just surprised Wolf Blitzer admitted to it. But it's clear. These guys do what the press guys do, what the White House wants them to do. And, you know, I've said for years, the Democrats have not had a new idea since the night Bobby Kennedy died. And what they now have as their think tank is the New York Times, you know, the Washington Post. These are the people who do the thinking for the liberals. These are the people who respond and always, always support the liberals. Jane, good point. I mean, is there something else in that magazine, the Time magazine story that you point to?
I don't get it. So I haven't read it. I've just saw the cover, and my mother gets it. I may dig it out, but I probably wouldn't give. It would probably be real close to what Obama said and his arguments
sure
that he uses. So it wouldn't
you
surprise
know. Yeah, I used to subscribe to U.S. News and World Report, which was a pretty decent magazine, and then they stopped printing it, so they're sending me Time magazine instead. Pretty poor replacement. Hey, Jane, thanks very much for the call. All right, Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. In our next segment, we're going to be joined by Congressman Steve King of Iowa, highly outspoken opponent of immigration so-called reform. He's planning a lawsuit to set aside what the president did today. We're going to talk to Steve about that and a whole lot more. He's a good constitutional conservative. I think he's probably going to have something to say about just how far this president has gone. All right, Jed Babin for Dr. Michael Savage. We're going to come right back to you with Steve King, and then we'll be back to your calls. 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. We'll be right back.
There's still time for Congress to pass the DREAM Act this year, and we still need to pass comprehensive immigration reform, reform that gives our farmers and ranchers, our science and technology sectors, certainty that the young people who come here to earn their PhDs won't be forced to leave, and lives up to our heritage as a nation of laws and a nation of immigrants.
Why does President Obama even care whether Congress passes the DREAM Act? Apparently, he thinks he can do it on his own without congressional action. Jed Babin for Michael Savage. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased to introduce to you our very special guest, Iowa Republican Representative Steve King, Vice Chairman of the House Subcommittee on Immigration Policy and Enforcement. Mr. King, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me on, Jeb. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Well, yeah, it's been too long. Let's go right to it, though. Congressman, you're a very outspoken person opposed to so-called immigration reform. We fought that battle back in 2007 with John McCain and George Bush and Ted Kennedy, and we fought that battle again last year with the so-called DREAM Act. Now the president, I mean, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me the president has done really a modification to a United States law without congressional action. How the heck is that going to work?
Well, it can't work, and it can't be tolerated by a Congress. And the separation of powers is, I think, a clearly defined issue. The President of the United States understands this. He was an adjunct professor at the University of Chicago. He taught Constitution law. He has expressed that opinion, I think, in a actually a very articulate way. I'm just looking at a memo where the president was speaking at the Bell School, and this is actually only March 28th of last year. And he said, with respect to the notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case because there are laws on the books that Congress has passed We've got three branches of government. Congress passes the law. The executive branch's job is to enforce and implement those laws. And then the judiciary has to interpret the laws. That's Barack Obama just a little over a year ago. And yet this promised executive order would usurp the constitutional legislative authority of the United States Congress as defined under Article 1 of the Constitution, Jeb.
Absolutely right. Look, we played a cut earlier from September of last year where he was essentially saying the same thing, that he has to enforce the laws and he can't just pick and choose what he wants to do. Well, that's sure not what I heard this morning. It seems to me that it's a separation of powers issue. You're exactly right. The Congress has delineated authority. The president has delineated authority. And when the president usurps the Congress, or vice versa, the courts have to correct this. So you're planning, I hear from our friends at the Daily Caller, you're planning to sue against this this action by the president today. Explain to us how that's going to work, please.
Well, I've been through this once before. And so the instant this hit, it wasn't like I had to go back and do a lot of research. I have won a case on separation of powers, and it actually was against the seated Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. And so as that is a pattern that took place here, it's clear to me that what happened with Tom Vilsack, he was governor of Iowa at the time. He issued an executive order number 7. And all of my smart Republican lawyers told me that I didn't know what I was talking about, that it really was a very subtly written, carefully drafted constitutional executive order. And I just applied it to the code and did the strike-throughs and the underlines so I could see the effect of the executive order and brought the suit anyway and succeeded in court in the case of King versus Vilsack. And so in this case, it's clear to me that Congress has defeated the DREAM Act. The president is seeking to implement it by executive order. When Congress, it's not that Congress has never acted on this. This might be a little bit less clear if Congress had never acted, but Congress has acted. Congress has defeated the DREAM Act. The president is seeking to implement a policy by executive order that the Congress has rejected. And that is, I don't know how it gets more clear that the president's usurping our constitutional authority. That argument would be made before the court. I'm still, we just put some legal heads together here earlier today. I think it'll probably be the middle of next week before I get any written opinions on the right path forward. But sure. I'm looking for the way to do that, and I want to ask the court to enjoin this executive order in such a way that we can protect the American citizens from a voracious appetite for power that the President of the United States has.
Well, I think you're on the right track on this. I mean, I'm an old trial lawyer myself, and, I could see an injunction suit going to this, and, if you can get it filed pretty quickly, it sounds to me like it's certainly more than just a colorable case. You've got a very substantial claim on separation of powers here, and as you point out just very, very well, the fact that the Congress has already rejected the DREAM Act, that's something the courts can't ignore. The problem that I see with this, though, even with an injunctive suit, you're not likely to get something done for a month or two. And if it stretches out and you get, even if you don't get a preliminary injunction, it stretches out for months and months. Isn't Congress in a position right now? Isn't the Republican majority in the House in a position right now where you could refuse to pass any authorization or appropriation for the Homeland Security Department to prevent them from doing this? I mean, isn't that another path that you could do at maybe the same time?
Well, and I thought about that path, and then my immediate approach to that would be, yes, anything that requires funding in Congress, the House of Representatives has really a full control, has the veto power over anything that would be spent by the federal government and other than the entitlements, which is a little bit broader, more complicated question.
Sure.
And so we could, in our appropriation bills, freeze any appropriations that might be used to implement or enforce this executive order of the president's. And yet, I think you've seen the pattern over the last year and a half. It's pretty clear that they're not willing to confront the president to the extent where if President Obama is willing to shut the government down, then that position that he has taken will get him whatever he's willing to fight for. I'd go down that path. I'm happy to go there, but I don't think that the strategists and the Republican leadership are going to adopt that particular path, Jim. Although
yeah,
I'd be very willing to shut off any funding necessary to implement or enforce this executive order.
We're talking to Congressman Steve King of Iowa, one of the tough conservatives who's been really good on this illegal immigration issue. And Congressman, all I can say is this is reminiscent of a conversation I had on the air, two nights ago with a friend of ours. I won't mention his name, but his initials are Louis Gohmert. And it was basically the same kind of thing. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in the Republican leadership to stand, especially on spending matters, and do what needs to be done to, you know, stand up to the president, even at the risk of closing down the government. And it strikes me that you're exactly right. If they don't have that commitment, they can't win that fight. So we are left probably with your lawsuit. And maybe I would suggest you're probably thinking about bringing it here in the District of Columbia. And, you know, you got a pretty good shot there. I mean, some of the judges are Obama appointees, Clinton appointees, but generally they're pretty smart guys and gals. And this is not.
We have a great affection for the D.C. Circuit. Yeah. They have been very reliable, and I appreciate them. There's a lot of blanks to fill in on this before we are able to move forward, but I think we'll be able to do so quickly. And I just, from my standpoint, Jeb. And for all of us who have taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, that includes the president, but we have a duty to uphold that oath. It isn't a political question to uphold the Constitution. It is a language. It is a question of the text and the original understanding of the Constitution itself. And so, when we stand down there on the floor and put our hand on, in my case, the family Bible, and raise my hand and take that oath, that means I defend it. I defend it in court. If need be, I defend it verbally on the floor of the House of Representatives and in the media, whatever arena I'm in. And if it requires some resources out of my personal pocket, that's also part of the oath. There's not a reservation on that, and so I intend to push this thing very hard. I could not accept the idea that the president can clearly run directly contrary to the actions or inactions of Congress and legislate by executive order. If that's the case, Congress is irrelevant. And I'd add to this that as we've watched, we've got two huge cases before the Supreme Court right now. Obamacare, if the Supreme Court should uphold this or listen to Barack Obama's argument, would be another way to put that, they will have expanded the Commerce Clause to swallow all of the enumerated powers in the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. If the Supreme Court upholds the Obama administration's suit against Arizona's immigration law, they will have adopted a policy that a policy of the executive branch usurps the authority of the states and negates the actual federal statute. And if the executive branch changes its mind, then it changes the constitutionality of a law within the state.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. We're talking to Congressman Steve King of Iowa, and I really think you're right, but I have a lot of faith in the Supreme Court. Well, not a lot of faith, but enough faith that I think that this Obama individual mandate has got to go down. And I think the questioning and the oral arguments kind of tilts that way. But let me ask you another question that's related to that. We have another, I won't bore you with playing it, but we have another cut here. Ms. Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House, saying, I guess yesterday on a CBS Early show, that she thought they were just ironclad on the constitutionality of Obamacare. My recollection is, and maybe your recollection is better, it usually is, but didn't Ms. Pelosi just kind of chuckle off and say, you know what, the Constitution, we're not even concerned about that, when the Obamacare bill was going on?
Well, let's see. I remember that being, Congressman from Illinois, who was famous for saying, well, we don't care about the Constitution. He's Phil Hare, Congressman Phil Hare, former Congressman Phil Hare. And that was the reason why he's a former congressman, I would say.
Well, that's good.
Then I know they asked John Conyers, too, to cite the enumerated power that would grant constitutional authority to pass Obamacare, and he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee at the time. Let's see, his answer was something like, well, the welfare clause of the Constitution. I mean, it's just weak. They don't care about the Constitution. They accept that they're in the business of seeking to redefine it because they know that Americans love and revere our Constitution, and if they can confuse enough people about it, they can subvert it. They surely can't amend it or repeal it.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Your recollection is better than mine, Steve. I mean, it's just I've somehow that's stuck in my mind as a Pelosi-ism that she was just saying, what? What Constitution? Anyway, we really appreciate your taking the time to join us. I wish you the very best of luck on your lawsuit. And, you know, I hope that the House Republicans would take it up and stop the funding of it, but I think that's a pretty long shot. Anyway, Congressman Steve King, Republican of Iowa, staunch conservative, vocal opponent of the illegal immigration nonsense going on right now. Thanks very much for joining us. Hope you'll come back soon.
Will do. Thanks for having me on, Jeb. It's good to talk with you again, and we do need to pull out all stops on this in every way possible, so I appreciate your voice.
Well, thank you very much. We'll help however we can. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage, 800-449-8255. I think we got to take another one of those break things and come back to your calls. Stick with us. MichaelSavage.com is the place you need to go to check today's big stories.
Savage.
Welcome back, everybody. Jed Babin sitting in for Michael Savage. Well, coming up to the last segment of the show. Let's see how many of you we can talk to right now. All right, line 7, Jim in New York. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Jim, you there? Jim's gone. All right, how about line 4? Donald, also in New York. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Thanks for the calling in.
Yeah, I believe that Romney actually benefits with everything that Obama says and does, and I'll tell you why. Romney's, to me, he's the opposite of Obama, whether you're convinced or not, and I believe the public will support Romney. And I have a question for you, though, if I may ask one question. What happens if Romney actually wins the election, and in the Electoral College he wins, and Obama refuses to leave the White House?
Oh, it's not going to happen. I mean, it just isn't going to happen. Obama, you know, Obama could refuse to leave and, you know, somebody to evict him eventually, but Romney would go on up and, you know, get himself inaugurated, and it really wouldn't matter. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read a very funny book. It's called The White House Mess. Christopher Buckley wrote it, oh, golly, it's probably 15 years ago, and it was about the day that Ronald Reagan was getting his successor to come to the White House and pick him up to go to the Capitol for the next president's inauguration, and Ronnie was still in his pajamas and didn't want to leave, and it was just very funny. So, you know, it's not going to happen. I hope you're right about this benefiting Romney, but what Romney said today, and I'll say it again until I'm blue in the face, what he said today was effectively he wants to do the same thing that Obama wants to do, but he wants to go to Congress first. And I don't think that's enough of a difference to make any difference to the American people. If you want to win this election, Mr. Romney, you got to stand up and hit this thing right out of the park. Hey, thanks very much for the call, Donald. Let's go to line 6, Russell in West Virginia. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, glad to be on the Savage Nation. I think if Congress lets us go with King Obama, they're crazy. He had this ace in the hole for a while, because he knew if the election come down to a very close standing, and if Florida was, you know, trying to, you know, stop this, and you know, the illegal immigrants from voting, and all the other states that's going to try to go beyond, you know, with Florida, he knew that this was going to come about. He knows he's very close in the election. He knows that his percentages are dropping rapidly, and what I see, he is trying to buy an election. And if he gets this, it's hard to tell what else he can change. And he could be like, you know, the next Germany and Hitler and turn these things around.
It's not going to go that far, you know. And I agree with you. If Obama's reelected, he's going to do a lot more of this, and the Republicans are going to have to stand up at some point and just say no mas. And we don't care if you shut the government down or not. We're going to fight you on this. But right now, I think there is an end in sight, and it's November 6th. And if Mitt Romney can stand up and fight, even if Congress doesn't have the guts to stand up and fight, he can win this thing. He can beat this guy. If there was ever a beatable president in electoral terms, it's Barry Obama. This guy is vulnerable on so many things, and he's made himself vulnerable. It just remains for Romney to fight the good fight. Hey, great call. Thanks for it. Let's see if we can get one or two more in before we got to go. Line 5, Carl in Houston. Thanks for calling in, sir. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jed. Hey, in my opinion, I think it would be political suicide for Romney to say anything about the illegal things because there's quite a few Hispanics here. I have quite a few friends here in Texas, and I'm 300 miles from the border, and I have some in-laws that are too, and they all tell me, saying that most of them are conservative, but, you know, somebody who goes out speaking against, you know, illegals and Hispanics in general, it's going to upset them. You don't want to say anything that will tick them off.
Carl, let me interrupt here, but that's the problem. This is playing defense, and that's what Mitt Romney is doing. You can't win an election by failing to draw contrast between you and the other guy. And what Romney said today was, again, I'm sorry for repeating myself, but we got to get this point across. What he was saying was effectively the same thing that Obama said, except we want to go to Congress to do it. And if that's the case, why bother to vote for Romney? Why not just stay home? I'm going to turn out. I'm going to vote for Romney because I think with a good Republican Congress, with some good senators we've got up there now, and maybe a few more by the time January rolls around, I think we can beat this guy and we can get Romney to do the right thing. You just can't give in. You can't play on defense all the time. You know, like I forget which football coach said it, you know, the best defense is a good offense. And you can't win an election unless you go after this guy, draw contrasts, and what I call, I've always said, pick useful fights. Fights have to be political. Fights have to be real. Fights have to be in the terms that people care about and understand. And that's what Mitt Romney has to do. I think he can do it, but today was a bad day. Maybe he got caught off guard. Maybe he just didn't have the right things in front of him. Maybe he hadn't thought it through. But I'll tell you what, time's a wasting. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I've really enjoyed my time with you tonight. Michael Savage will be back on Monday. This is Jed Babin signing off. I really enjoyed this time with you. Hope to do it again soon. Savage.